For today, I thank y'all for the opportunity and the privilege for y'all allowing me to come up here and give y'all what the Lord has given me this week. if y'all would, please be finding y'all's places to 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, and we're going to be in verse number 6. And I was thinking, Bro BJ asked me, I believe it was last Friday or Saturday, he asked me if I would preach for him as he's, I didn't know what he was doing, but apparently he had himself a good old vacation. But I told him I'd think about it and I'd look and I'd pray about it. And the next day I told him that I would. And the Lord gave me this. I don't know if I already said it, but the title is Keeping the Faith. If y'all would, please stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 6, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, that the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Father God, we thank you right now for this weather that you've given us, Father. Father, thank you for holding back the rain a little bit, Father God. Father, I pray for each and every soul that's out here. Father, I pray that they can say that they have kept the faith, Father. Yeah. Father, I pray that you just be with us throughout this evening, Father. Be with Bro BJ as they come back home, Father. Yeah. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. It's in Christ's name. Amen. In these verses, the Apostle Paul is saying about how he is happy with his life, about how he has kept the faith. He's saying about how... though my departure is at hand, I'm not scared to go. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be with my Lord, my Father, my God, yes, on the other side. And tonight, as Christians, we should be happy with how we lived our lives in the end. When we come to that point in time to where we may draw our last breath whenever we're down and out, we should be able to say that we have lived a good life, that we have kept the faith, that we have did everything that the Lord has called us to do and what he has told us to do. And I just got one question for us tonight. What does it mean to keep the faith? There's two things that I've seen, and then a third, going to be a little cliffhanger that y'all are going to have to wait till the end for. But this is what it means to keep the faith. The first thing that I saw, first and foremost, you must carry the cross. When you carry the cross, as Matthew says, let me turn over there right quick. Y'all don't have to turn there. Matthew chapter number... No, wait, never mind. I'm getting ahead of myself already. But we must carry the cross daily. Not when it's convenient for us, not when it's cool, not when it's all of that, but daily. You must be sold out for Jesus. You must not get... I'm using incorrect English. I don't care. I'm a country boy. But we must be sold out every day. That means every day that we must carry the cross and deny ourselves. Yes, and as Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." That is a perfect example of what we should do each and every day. We should deny ourselves, put ourselves out of the way. Because if we put ourselves in front, then it's just going to be a huge mess in the end. God will not get the glory out of it, even if you try. You have to deny yourself or else it'd just be a total failure and a total mess. Also, not only daily, but respectfully, you got to carry that cross. I remember back when the building was being built, Garrett Barnes, he probably remembers, me and him had to, I'm not going to say carry that steeple, but we had to lift it up. There was a crane, or I guess that'd be what you call it, that was getting the base of the steeple. And me and Barnes, we had to get that where it comes up to the point, and we had to make sure that cross didn't touch the ground. I'm telling you what, that was heavy. Talking about Barnes could probably agree with me. It was very heavy. But I'll tell you what else was heavy. To a Christian, carrying that cross each and every day is heavy. People will beat on you. People will persecute you. They'll say, why are you doing that? There's nothing good for it. Why don't y'all just go out and do this with us? But I'll tell you what, there's something on the other side that we're working for. And each and every day we're striving for it, and each and every day we're getting closer and closer to it. And that is heaven and all the glory that God will give us on that day. And also not only respectfully, not only daily, but also truthfully. It has to be true to you that you have carried that cross. You must be able to say, look in the mirror each and every morning and say, have you carried that cross? Each and every morning, have you done what Jesus has called you to do? Or have you not done it truthfully? Have you not done it sold out? Have you been 99% but not 100%? God doesn't want just 99, he wants 100%. Not only does he call us to carry the cross, but he also calls us to preach the word. He calls us not only preachers like me and Bro BJ and JD, but each and every person, he called us to spread his gospel. Amen. And we must do that being unashamed. As Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto all nations, from the Jew first to the Greek. That shows being unashamed means that you can stand up each day, stand on that cornerstone and say, I'm not ashamed of God. I know what he has done in my life. My bad. I know what he has done in my life, and I'm grateful for him each and every day. And no matter what y'all say about me, I am going to stand on that word. And no matter what y'all say about me, I will stand on his love. We should also do it in all times, in season and out of season. If you look a couple verses back in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul has told us that we should be able to, we shouldn't do it when it's convenient for us, not when it's the right season or the right moment for us, not when we're ready, for we should be ready at all times. And not only should we be ready at all times, we should be able to do what the Lord has called us to do. Not only at all times, but also foolishly. I put that in quotes today because, let me go to that verse right quick in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 in verse 18. And the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Yes. You see, to them that are driving down the road, not, I don't know if they go to church or not, but to them that may not, they may wonder what we're doing out here at 9 o'clock, 5 o'clock, back at the revival, 7 o'clock, what we're doing out here, just sitting out here in the parking lot, listening to a guy stand up here and preach. They think it's foolish, but to us, it is the power of God, and it's the word of God that gets us through our day and what gives us our hope and our peace. And I couldn't, when we started doing this drive-in service, I don't know what you call it, I started thinking about one person who they also thought was foolish out in the wilderness in the Matthew chapter number 3:3-5, the Bible says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his remnant of camel's hair and leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. That reminds me of what we're doing. We're out here in the sticks, as some people call it. We're out here in the country just preaching the word and loving Jesus. Yeah. We're not eating no locusts and wild honey, thank goodness, but we're eating on the word of God. Yeah. And I want to thank God that he has given us two pastors, J.D. and Bro B.J., who will stand on that word. And even though they think that they're crazy, Bro B.J. may be, but they'll, at least we know that the word, what he says, he will stand on the word, and he is a good shepherd for us. Excuse me. But before you can keep the faith, there's one thing that you have to have, and that is a change. There's no other better example than the exact same person who's writing to Timothy right now, and that's Paul. No? Yeah, Paul. Same last, just one letter, total difference. Yeah. Tell you what, Saul's he was a bad mamma jamma. Yeah. Talking about he'd go out there, if you were a Christian, he'd kill you and slap your wife. Yeah. Talking about he wouldn't flinch, he wouldn't have two thoughts about it, he would do it. But on that road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, God called him and he said, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? And it was like a bright light shining down on him. And finally he said, Lord, who art thou? Well, from the beginning he said, Lord, so he knew clearly who it was. He knew that it was Jesus. And that after that day, he was never the same. He never killed anyone, another Christian. Do you have faults? Yeah, I'm sure of it. But which person don't? Not only does God change in back in the day, but he changes today. I'm sure I have a little time because I'm usually short-winded. So let me tell you about my story right quick. Is that okay, James? When I was about 4 or 3, me and my biological parents got divorced. Or my mom and y'all get it. But then about 5, I reckon, I met who is now my dad. Trust me, he wasn't no perfect dad, but he loved me, and he cared for me like I was his own. And so did his family. I believe his parents are here tonight. They brought me in like I was part of the family. And I believe I was 13, 14, I'm not too sure. He adopted me, and some of y'all know me as Moore. Jake Gunner still calls me that, I think, sometimes. But now I'm a Robinson, and he adopted me in now. But let me tell you about my other adoption right quick. When I was about 13 years old, I was never one of them hoodlums. I mean, my mama probably thought I was, but just that's not important. But I wasn't a bad kid or anything. I never did drugs, never did alcohol, I never did any of those things. But when I was about 12 or 13, the Lord called upon me, and he reached down and saved my soul, and I've never been the same since. And daggum, them horns are different. You gotta get used to them. But then a year or two after that, I was about 14, he called me to preach. And I can't speak to, I can speak to people one-on-one. I'll talk your ears off, I reckon. Mama tells me that all the time. But I can't public speak. I'm not a public speaker. That is not my trade. But for some reason, he called me to preach, and I've done it ever since. And I'm thankful that he gave me that responsibility to preach his word to people who need it. Now, today, y'all may not, I hope I'm preaching through the